Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Chaf. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Saul Asa and family in honor of the rabbi, Tiskele Mitzvot. Today's daf is being studied Le'idu Nishmat Acham Baruch, Rafael Ben Miriam, and Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichem Began Eden. Amen. We begin on Daf Kuf Chav at the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, Masilin Sal Male Kikarot Afal Pi Sheyesh Bo Me'ah Se'udot. We're discussing a case again where there's a fire in the house on Shabbat. So we learned earlier that one is allowed to save 3 Se'udot, the amount of seudot that he needs for Shabbat. Our Mishnah comes and tells us that if there's a basket, a sal, that has in it many loaves of bread, even if it's more than 3 seudot, even if it's 100 seudot, one is able to save the entire basket. Now the Gemara obviously will ask, we learned earlier only 3 seudot. Now you're telling us we can even save a basket that has in it 100 seudot. The igul shel devela, that would be a cake of pressed figs that also has a lot of seudot worth in the cake. The havit shel yayin, and a barrel of wine. The omer la'achirim, and he's also allowed to tell others during the fire, bo'u ve'hatsilu lachem, come and save for yourself. Now, the Gemara will explain exactly what this line means, but it seems that what they're saying is that if you want to save some food for yourselves, you can go right ahead. The mayu pikhin, and if those other people were smart, if they were pikhin, osim imo hezbon ahar shabbat, they can make a hezbon with him, meaning they can make a calculation with him after Shabbat, which means they can charge him for doing the service for him, for saving all those extra meals. So they can charge him after Shabbat for the service that they did for working for him. Le'echad matzilin otan. Now, these meals that you're able to recover from the fire, to where do you save them? So the Mishnah answers, le'chatzer ha'me'orevet. You can only save it to the courtyard so long as it has the proper eruv. As we learned, in a courtyard that has many dwellings, many residents, you need to make an eruv in order to facilitate carrying within that eruv. So Tana Kama says, you can only bring the food out to a chaser me'orevet. Ben Betera Omer, Ben Betera Zul Molinit, he says, af l'she'ena me'orevet. You're allowed to bring the food even into a courtyard that does not have the eruv, so he is lenient. Ulsham motzi called keli tashmisho. And to the courtyard, the Mishnah says, you're allowed to bring out all the utensils that you would need for that Shabbat. Until now, we only discussed kitve kodesh, and we discussed food. Now the Mishnah says, all vessels that you're going to need, as she gives an example, kegon kosot vekitoniyot, cups and jars that you're going to need for that Shabbat, it also be permissible to recover from the fire into the chaser. Velovesh kol ma shiachod lelvosh. And Tana Kama says, regarding clothes, you can wear as much clothes as you can. Meaning, so long as you're wearing it, you could wear many clothes on top of each other. Two jackets, two socks, etc., on top of each other, and save as much as you can. Ve'otef kol ma shiachol la'atof, and you can wrap yourself around with as much clothes or as much wrappings as you can. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Rabbi Yosef argues. He says, yud het kelim, you're only allowed to save 18 garments. Which means the 18 essential garments that the Gemara is going to enumerate, that's as much as you're allowed to save. According to Rabbi Yosef holds that when one wears multiple garments over each other, that's considered carrying. And if his concern was,
if we allow you to wear multiple garments, even into the Hasid, you might end up walking into the Rishut Rabim. And wearing these multiple garments on top of each other is going to be considered carrying. Whereas the rabbis say, no, so long as you're wearing it, it's not considered carrying. Therefore, you can save as much as you want. And then the Mishnah continues, this is the opinion of Tana Kama, the Mishnah is going back to, Vechozer velovesh umotzi. And you can go back into the house and redress yourself with more clothes and bring it out. So according to Tana Kama, you can constantly go back in, dress yourself, go back out, take them off, go back in again. Again, Vechozer velovesh umotzi. The Mefashim explained the reason why the rabbis weren't concerned that you might come and extinguish the fire by, you know, letting him keep on going back in and, you know, dressing himself and undressing himself in the chaser. The logic is because since he's wearing it, he'll remember. Which means, Tana Kama is not going to allow you to carry the clothes out. When you're carrying the clothes out, in the commotion of carrying things out, you might come to extinguish the fire. But once the rabbis tell you the only way you can carry the clothes out is by wearing it, so that'll serve as a reminder to him that he cannot extinguish the fire. So there's only talking when you're taking them out through wearing them, not through carrying them. The Omer, the Mishnah concludes, and you're able to tell others, la'achirim, to others, bo'u v'atzilu imi, come save with me. Now, seemingly this is redundant. We learned earlier in the Mishnah, when it came to food, you were able to tell others, go save for yourselves. Bo v'atzilu lachem. When it comes to clothes, the Mishnah uses the terminology that you can tell others, bo v'atzilu imi, come and save with me. So the Gemara will discuss the different language between lachem and imi. Gemara begins, you told me in the beginning of the Mishnah that you're allowed to save a basket that has in it loaves, even if it has 100 seudot worth. V'hatana le'resha. But didn't we learn earlier in our Mishnah, shalosh seudot v'tula, that the only allowance to save from a fire is 3 seudot and no more? Now you tell me even 100. Amar Rav Huna lakasha. Rav Huna answers, no question. Kan beba lehatzil, kan beba lekapel. It depends. There's a difference between lehatzil and lekapel. Lehatzil literally means to save. Meaning, if let's say you have a basket already, and there's 100 seudot worth of food in the basket already. So all you have to do is just grab the basket in one shot and take it out, permissible. Because we're not concerned that he might come to put out the fire with such a, you know, one action. So that's considered that seal. That seal, if it's all in the basket already, it's permissible. However, kan beba lekapel. When did we say 3 seudot and no more? When you're bundling, meaning, well, let's say you have your 3 seudot in different baskets. So you're running around the house, grabbing one basket, and you put it in, let's say, a sheet. And then you run to get another basket, and you put it into the sheet. And you take a third basket, and you put it into the sheet. Then you take the whole sheet, and you bundle it up and take it out. Then they only allow you 3 seudot. Because since it's 3 separate actions, having to collect each one, so in the commotion, again, they're concerned, if we let you do more, you might come out and extinguish the fire. So therefore, there's a difference, lehatzil and lekapel. And the Gemara explains that. Ba lehatzil, if you're coming to recover something that's all together in the basket already, matzilet kudam, you can save all of them. Ba lekapel, but if you're coming to collect, in the, you know, make a bundle out of it, you're only be allowed to save up until 3 seudot. So that's the way Rav Huna reconciles the two statements. Rav Abba Bar Zavda Amar Rav. Rav Abba Bar Zavda, in the name of Rav, gives a alternate answer. And he says,
I can tell you both the last Mishnah and our Mishnah is talking where you're actually bundling. And still, velakashya. Kan le'ota chatzer, kan le'chatzer acherim.
His difference is not how much you could save necessarily, but where you could save it. Meaning like this. When we said you could save in our Mishnah 100 se'udot, Rav really doesn't care how you're going to save it. The point is whether you put it in one basket or whether you collect them in, you know, bundling. The point is if it's 100, meaning it's more than 3, you're only allowed to save it to the immediate chaser in front of the house. However, if it's 3 seudot, you're allowed to save it even to another chaser. Which means to the chaser that, let's say, is adjacent to the chaser of the house. So what the Mishnayot are really telling you is, the difference between 3 seudot and more than 3 seudot is not how you're taking it out. According to Rav Idi, Rav, his interpretation is where can you save it? And I read that inside again. Rav Abba bar Zav d'Amar Rav Idi v'Idi v'Bal Kapel, which means even if we're talking where you're coming to, put them in bundles. Doesn't matter. V'la kasha kan le'ota chatzer, meaning more than 3, so that you can only bring it to the immediate chatzer in front of the house. Kan le'chatzer acheret. However, if it's 3, you can even bring it out to the different chatzer that I'll say is adjacent to the chatzer in front. So we have two answers how to reconcile these two Mishnayot. Ba'er avuna bered Rav Yoshua. Now the Gemara has a question. Pires talito. Let's say he spread out a talit. Vekipel v'hiniyach, vekipel v'hiniyach. And he bundled and placed. And he bundled and he placed. What did he do? There was many baskets. He took the contents of a basket and he emptied it out into the talit. So it's a little different than the regular kipul that we learned till now, where it's individual baskets that you're placing in the talit and then carrying it out. Here, you're emptying out the contents of many baskets into one talit. So now when you're going to take out this talit, it's really just one collection of food. So the Gemara wants to know, my, how do you consider that case? Keba lehatzil dameh, do you consider it like lehatzil, meaning do you consider it all one, and therefore it's like many contents in one basket that we said you're allowed? Or keba lekapel dameh, or do we say no, since bottom line you had to collect each, you know, individual basket and empty it out into the talit, so that would be considered lekapel, and therefore you would not be allowed to do more than 3, or you have the restrictions that we discussed above. So that's the Gemara's question over here. So the Gemara says, so again, the question is, do you consider it kebal lehatzil, since bottom line you're taking out one talit of goods, so that's like lehatzil, taking out one basket of goods, or do you say no, it's the kapel, because since you have to be toreyah to go and collect each individual thing before you empty it out, so that would be the kapel. So that's the Gemara's question. So tashema, the bach ends the words tashema. Tashema, mide'amar Rava, from the fact that Rava said, at ayah rav shizbi l'rav hezda, there was a time, the Gemara says, Rav Shizvi misled. Ataya is like from the Lashon Ta'ut. Ataya Rav Shizvi the Rav Chizda. Rav Shizvi misled Rav Chizda v'darash. And he misled him so much that Rav Chizda agreed with Rav Shizvi's mistake. And what was the mistake that he told him? How did he mislead him? It was in a case that we discussed earlier. Remember the case we learned, where if somebody has, let's say, a barrel on top of his roof, and the barrel starts to leak. So we said you're allowed to take one vessel and place it at the bottom on the in the courtyard there to catch the leaking barrel. But you aren't allowed to bring others, meaning other vessels, either to catch it in midair or to place it at the lip of the roof to catch it when it's going down. You're only allowed to bring one vessel and put it on the bottom, on the floor, to catch it. Right? That's the way we learned. So Rav Shizvi misled Rav Chazda and said, regarding that one vessel that you're allowed to place on the floor, he told him, "Ubevad shelo yavi kli shum mahzik yotem megimel seudot." He told him, yeah, but you have to make sure that one vessel that you bring doesn't hold more than 3 seudot worth of wine. That's what he told him. Now, shmak mina keba leatzil dameh veshapir dameh. Now, obviously he was misleading him, therefore really telling us it's really permissible even if you have a huge candy, even if it can hold more than 3. And therefore he's saying what? That even if, this is the comparison now, even if the wine is falling in increments, right? A little wine is falling in at a time. So that would be compared to like it's being emptied from baskets one at a time. We don't consider it as if it's separate. We consider bottom line one keli. Because we know by the law of the roof, you only have to bring one vessel. Right? You cannot bring more than one vessel. So therefore, by placing this on the floor, even though it's dripping one drop, let's say, at a time, we don't consider it as if each one is coming from a separate basket, so to speak, and you're emptying it into the keli, and therefore it would be considered separate. We say, no. Bottom line, the contents of the keli on the ground, all of it's considered as one, and therefore you're allowed to do such a thing, even if it's more than 3 seudot. So therefore, say the same thing by us. Bottom line, when you empty the contents of an item into the talet, that makes it all one, and therefore it's considered lahatzil, and therefore it would be permissible. So the Gemara gets its answer. So that's it, therefore it's okay. Well, he says, what was the mistake exactly? Why was it misleading what he said? Which means, how do you know that indeed it's permissible to put a keli that's even bigger than 3 seudot on the ground to catch the wine? Amar le diktani, because on that statement it said, ubevad shelo yavi kli aher veyiklot. So long as you don't bring another vessel to catch the wine in the air, kli aher, or another vessel, the yitzrof, and collect it off the roof. So the Gemara makes a diyuk and says, kli aher udelo. Yeah, you cannot bring another vessel. Aval behahu mana, but in the one vessel that you're allowed to bring, you can save as much as you want. You see, the only thing that the rabbis restricted us while was bringing a second vessel. But the vessel that you're allowed to bring, there was no restrictions. Make it, like you said, as huge as you want it, and save as much as you want. So therefore, again, the Gemara concludes that when you have a talit, let's say, and you spread it out, and you went and you ran around the house, and you collected different foodstuffs that were in different baskets, and you emptied it out into one talit, and collectively have a lot of seudot, they're telling you that it would be permissible to say that the hadush is that even though you made a lot of trips, meaning you ran around the house, the hachamim were not gozer. It seems the main thing the rabbis were concerned about is that they didn't want you to take out, you know, many different baskets, even if it was in one utensil. But once already it's all united in the talet, you're taking it out in one shot, so therefore it would consider that seal, and therefore would be permissible. Okay? So that is the answer to that Gemara. Comes the Gemara and continues. Ve'igul shel debela. Okay, so the Mishnah then said that you're allowed to tell others, go and save for yourself. And if they're smart, so after Shabbat, they will make a hajbon with him. Meaning they'll go to him and say, hey, listen, we helped you out, pay us for our services. So the Gemara says, hajbon may avite. Says, what are you talking about? What is this hajbon that we're talking about that these people, these other people can go and claim? Mefkira kazachu. Forget about asking for wages. They're allowed to keep what they took. Because bottom line, the food that they're recovering is hefker. What does hefker mean? It's ownerless. Which means, when the guy says, go and take what you want, he's practically telling them, finished, it's yours. Which means he can't take more than 3 seudot. The fire is going to come and burn the house down. So he's telling somebody, go recover what you want. Go take what you want. So the Gemara say, what are you talking about that they're going to ask for their wages? Forget about asking for wages. What they took, they're able to keep. Which means the Mishnah should say, if they're smart, they'll keep what they took. Because that's the halakha. Amar of Chazda, midat hasidut shanu kan. We're talking about those people that went to recover some stuff on Shabbat. They were following the level of hasidut. Hasidut is, you know, above the letter of the law. Meaning, they know it's hefker. But you know what? They know that maybe deep down this guy really maybe doesn't want to give it away. Even though the halakha says they can keep it, but you know what? What is the nature of a hasid? He doesn't want to do anything that's questionable, right? So what he does is he's going to give back the food. So the discussion was not the hasid keeping the food. He's going to take the food after Shabbat and say, listen, I don't want to keep this food to myself. You take it back. However, he's going to ask for his wages. So the Gemara says, what are you talking? Amar Rava, Hasidei Igra DeShabbetah Shakle? If he's a Hasid, is he going to ask for wages on Shabbat? Which means, even though, let's say legally he can take wages, because he never stipulated to do this job on Shabbat. It was never an Isur really. So therefore, technically he can ask after Shabbat for, you know, the money, the wages that, for the time that he went and took and recovered stuff. But again, if we're talking about a guy who's following midat hasidut, meaning, if he's already giving back the food, such a guy's not going to ask for his wages. Because again, it smells over here a little. Bottom line, you did the work on Shabbat, and now, you know, you're going to ask for the wages. You know, it's legal. But if you're talking about a hasid, the nature of a hasid is that she says he's mevater, meaning he lets things slide, lets things go. So therefore, again, we want to know the case in the Mishnah. What's the case where the guy is not keeping the food, but he's asking for wages? It can't be we're talking about midat hasidut. Because midat hasidut, he's not keeping anything. He's not keeping the food and he's not asking for his wages. So the Gemara says, Ela amarava, hacha, Bire Shamayim Askina. We're not talking about a Hasid, but we're talking about a God-fearing person. That's like a notch down. Now, what's the nature of the God-fearing person? So the Gemara explains, Delo nihale deletane me'achirim. He doesn't want to benefit from others, meaning he doesn't want to keep the guy's food. Even though technically the food that he recovered, he can keep it, he doesn't want to have a hana'ab from other people, therefore, he'll give it to him back. However, he's not a hasid, and therefore, ubhinam nameh lo nihalid litrach. He doesn't want to work for free either. I mean, after all, he did expend some of his time on Shabbat to go save this food over here. So the guy is going to give back the food. But if he's smart, meaning, what does it mean if he's smart? So the Gemara explains, V'achi kamar, v'imayu pikein. If they were smart in the sense that what? T'yad'e d'chi aigavna lav schar shabbatu. They're smart, meaning in the laws of Shabbat. Meaning, if the guy's smart and knows the laws of Shabbat to the extent that he knows, he can charge for this. Because this is not considered working on Shabbat and getting wages for Shabbat. Why? Because since it wasn't stipulated, he just did it on his own, and he wasn't asked, let's say,
you know, to do it for remuneration. So therefore, the Gemara Mishnah is saying like this: if the guy's smart, meaning he knows Jewish law, now what does Jewish law say? That in such a case, you could charge. So then, then already after the Shabbat, you can make a chesbon. So therefore, it comes out, we have two answers how to answer our Mishnah. We have the answer of Rav Chisda, and we have the answer of Rava. Rav Chisda's answer is we're talking about over here, a Hasid. And what's the case of the Hasid? He don't want to keep the food for himself, because he doesn't know if the guy really made it hifker or not. He doesn't want to get involved with that. However, according to Rav Chisda, the guy's going to ask for his wages. And that the Mishnah means according to Rav Chisda as well. What does it mean if he was smart? If he's smart and he knows the law is you can keep the wages, he'll ask. Rava didn't like Rav Chisda's answer. Because Rava says, if the guy's a Hasid, he's not asking for wages either. So who are we talking about? A Yiresh Shamayim. A God-fearing guy. So what's the nature of the God-fearing guy? He doesn't want to have benefit from somebody else, meaning he's not going to take the guy's food. However, again, why does he want to take the food? Because in his mind he says maybe he really wasn't mefkirit. You know, maybe he really wants that food. It's not so simple that he really made it hefkir, ownerless. Therefore, he's going to say, you know what? Take back your food. But listen, bottom line, I did go in the house. I spent some time over there. And I'm a pikeah. Meaning, I know the law. And the law is that I'm allowed to charge for such work that I did on Shabbat, because we didn't stipulate it on Shabbat to work for money. Therefore, he will ask for his remuneration. So either we're talking about a Hasid, according to Rav Chisda, or according to Rava, we're talking about a Yireh Shamayim. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanu Rabbanan. Now, Ulhechad Matzilim. So we said, where are you saving the goods to? So we had a machloket in the Mishnah. You could save it according to Tanakhama to a chatzer that has an eruv, but according to Ben Betera, chatzer that even does not have an eruv. Now, then we said, you're allowed to tell others, go and save for yourselves. Whereas at the end of the Mishnah, when it came to clothes, we said, go and save for me or with me. So the Gemara says, "May shenacha." Why is it different over here? Diktani lachem. When it came to the food, it says, "Go save for yourselves." Umay shenacha. But when it came to clothes, diktani emmi. It says, "Save with me." Why the difference in language? So amri. Gabe mezorot ketani lachem. By food, it said, "Go save for yourselves." Mishum delo ka hazu le. Which means Ela Mazon Shalosh Seudot. The owner can only have three Seudot. More than three Seudot he can't have. So therefore anything after three Seudot, it's not worthy for him. So therefore he tells others, go save for yourselves. However, Aval Gavel Levushim Ketani Ami. But by clothes he says, save with me, meaning save the goods for me. Why? Mishum Tekahazele Lekuli Yoma. Because bottom line, the clothes are worthy for him for the whole day, meaning he can wear these clothes himself on that Shabbat. Like we learned according to Tanna Kamma, there's no restrictions really on how much clothes you're allowed to bring. So therefore, just like he can go in, and we said many times, and bring out and recover as much clothes as he wants, so he can tell others, listen, go save some clothes for me. Go bring out as much clothes. When it came to Seudot, the cap is how much? Three Seudot. So he can't say, go bring out for me more than three Seudot, because that's it. All you can eat is three Seudot. So therefore he says, go bring for yourselves. However, when it comes to Begadim, since it's worthy for him, either because he could wear them on the Shabbat themselves, and we said anyway, he could take out as much clothes as he wants, as long as he's wearing them. So therefore it would be permissible. That's why he says, on me. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanu Rabbanan. Lovesh. And then Bach adds the word umotzi. Umotzi. Tanur banan. Lovesh umotzi uposhet. Right? He gets dressed. He goes out. Takes the clothes off. Vechozer velovesh umotzi uposhet. Vafilu kolayom kulo. You can do that the entire day. Devre Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yose omer shemona asar kelim. Rabbi Yose said, no. You're only allowed to recover 18 garments. Now the Gemara is going to list the 18. Ve'eluhem shemona asar kelim. These are the 18 garments.
Maktorin, that would be the person's cloak. Unkili, that's an overcoat. Punda is a belt. Kalbus, shilpishtan, is a vest made out of flax. The haluk, haluk would be the shirt, like the tunic. The afiliot, afiliot would be, as she, how does he say, afiliot? Sadin, letatev bo kulo, that would be like a robe. Umaaforet, maaforet would be like a handkerchief. Actually, a kerchief that they would wear over their heads, or like a hat kerchief. That would be a kerchief. Ushne safarkin. Safarkin would be bands that they wear on their legs. Ushne min'alim. That would be shoes, two shoes. Ushne anpaliyot. That would be two pairs of, two socks. Ubet pargad. What is bet pargad? The way they explain that is, and as she says it in the words, kane hosen. That would be like the straps that they use to hold up their socks. It seems in like a garter in order to hold up their socks. So you get two of those. The hagur shebemotnav, and then you have the belt. You have another belt. So there's two belts over here. One belt is worn on the outside. That was the first belt we talked about. And as she says, the hagur is... the first belt we're talking about is the outer belt. And the hagur is the inner belt, which means one belt you wear over your overcoat, let's say, on the outside. And this belt you wear underneath that, over, let's say, the tunic. So therefore, you're allowed to wear two belts, one inner belt and one outer belt. The kova shebirosho, you get to wear a hat. The sudar shebesavaro, that would be like a scarf. So therefore, you have the 18 necessary garments that normal people wear during the week. So Rabbi Yosef says you can only save up to that, but no more. Comes to the Mishnah and says, Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas said, Porsin or shel gdi, על גבי שידה, טבע ומגדל, שאחז בהן את האור, מפני שהוא מחרך. We're talking about, let's say you have on Shabbat a שידה. שידה would be like a carriage. טבע would be a trunk. מגדל would be a closet. I mean, you have wooden items that caught on fire on Shabbat. You don't want the fire now to spread. So the Rabbi Shimon ben Anas says, you could take leather. That she says we're talking about over here, the leather is moist, and it's not flammable. You can place it over the tevash sheda or the migdal, and now what's going to happen, when the fire gets to that leather, it's going to singe it, and it's going to stop the fire from spreading. So he allows you to place the leather over the sheda, tevan, migdal on Shabbat, to stop the fire from spreading. Why? Because it'll just maharich, it'll just cause it to singe. Comes the Mishnah and continues, and the Mishnah says, Ve'osin mechisa bechol akelim. Furthermore, you're allowed to make a wall in front of a fire from any vessels you want. Ben mele'im ben rekanim. Whether they're filled with water or whether they're not, whether they're empty. Bishvir shelo ta'avor adeleka. So the fire does not spread. Which is what's going to happen? You're going to have, let's say, a wall of kelim. Now, the fire is going to get to that spot. Some of the kelim are going to bust. And what's going to happen? The water now is going to land on the fire, extinguish. He says, that's okay. That's going to be permissible on Shabbat. So two things that Rabbi Sharman and Anas taught. Number one, you could put this leather over the wooden vessels in order to stop the fire from spreading. Furthermore, you even have to make a wall of vessels, any vessels, he said, whether they're full or empty, in order to protect the fire from going forward. So comes the Gemara, Mishnah says, Rabbi Yosef Omer, Bechli Cheres Hadashim Mele'im, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yosef Osir, Rabbi Yosef said, is forbidden, what is forbidden? Bechli Cheres Hadashim Mele'im Mayim, new earthenware vessels filled with water.
Why? Because they are not able to withstand the heat of the fire. And what's going to happen? They're going to explode. They're going to crack. They're going to extinguish the fire. So, we're going to, obviously we see a machloket here between Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef. To what extent is one allowed to extinguish? Now, everybody agrees you cannot directly extinguish. We're discussing over here where you're doing it in an indirect way. Tanakama says that as long as it's indirectly, even though the water is going to end up, you know, falling on the fire, that's okay. You didn't put the water on the fire, you made the wall. However, according to Rabbi Yosef, if the water is going to end up on the fire, so that's, even though it's indirectly, he says it's going to be asur. And we're going to see the nature of this machloket in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Talet she'achaz ba'ha'ur mitzad echad. You have a talet, you have a garment. Let's say it caught fire on one side. One side of talet is on fire. Notnin aleha mayim mitzad acher. So this opinion says you'll have to pour water on the other side of the talit, in order that by the time the fire gets to that spot, it'll extinguish. Vim kafta kafta. And if it goes out, it goes out. And the Tosafot discusses that it might not be allowed to actually put water on the talit itself. Because we learned earlier in the Masechet, putting water on a garment, that is considered kibus. That's considered cleaning the garment, which is another isur. So therefore, it could be, it means putting water, let's say, near it. Or we're talking near the talit, in order that the water will pull it out, but not on the talit itself. Or we're talking about a garment that is, let's say, clean already. So if it's clean, by putting water on it, you're not actually laundering it. In any event, the point is, this opinion is telling you, you can actually pull water on one side of the garment in order to stop the fire from spreading. So comes the Gemara and says, Metive, we have a contradiction from a braita. Talet she'achaz ba'ur mitzad echad. Again, you have a talet and it has a fire on one side of it. Poshta, you're able to open it up, unfold it, let's say. Umitkaseba, and you can, if you want, lift it up to put it on. Vim kafta kafta, and if by unfolding it, the fire went out, it seems that when by unfolding it, it's going to stop the fire from spreading. So if that happens, it's fine. V'chen sefer Torah she'achaz ba'ur, or a sefer Torah, let's say a fire caught to it, poshto v'korebo. You're allowed to, let's say, unravel the Torah, spread the Torah out, and you're allowed to read from it. You don't have to read from it. It's just saying that you're able to do the normal things that you would normally do with a talit or a sefer. Meaning, it's normal by a talit, you unfold it. That happens in this case, somehow unfolding it will smolder the fire somehow and stop the fire from spreading. By unraveling the Sefer Torah, it'll do the same thing. So there it's saying it's to Mizbavim Kava Kava, but it's not allowing you to put water. Which means to deal with the Talet or the Sefer in a normal fashion, fine. However, to come along now and put water, they're not letting you do that. So we have a contradiction. So the Gemara says, no. Ha'u de'amar k'rabbi Shimon ben Nanas. Which means, the opinion that said you could put the water, that's going like the Tanakama of our Mishnah, which was Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas, that said what? You're allowed to put, at this point the Gemara is saying that you're allowed to put leather, let's say on top of the Shedat Teva of the Migdal, in order to stop the fire from catching, because it's going to just singe the leather. It's not going to, you know, go through the leather. So the Gemara says, "Who damak bishrom enanas? Imar de'amar bishrom enanas teshu mecharech." Which means he only allows you to put the leather there because you're not putting out the fire. It's just when the fire gets to the leather, it'll just singe the leather and it'll protect the shedat teva of the migdal. However, gram kivui mi amar. Did he let you actually indirectly put out the fire? He's not putting out the fire. You're just covering it, and the fire can't penetrate, let's say, the leather. However, now we're going a further step. Now you're actually telling me that you could put water on the talet. That's already a more serious situation. Does the Mishum and Nas even go that far? The Gemara says, yes, he does. Midiktani sefa. Because the end of our Mishnah said what? Rabbi Yosef oser bechli heres hadashim mele'im mayim. Right? Rabbi Yosef said that you're not allowed to use new earthenware vessels filled with water. She'enam yecholim lekabel etaur, because they cannot handle the heat. Ve'en mitbakaim, and they're going to explode. U'mechabin et delika, and they're going to put out the fire. That's Rabbi Yosef's opinion. Michlal implying that Tana kamashari. Must be that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon ben Anas was lenient even in that case, meaning Rabbi Shimon ben Anas allows you even to use new earthenware vessels filled with water. So what do you see? Must be yours that even gorem kibui, meaning indirect extinguishing, is permissible. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon was there saying, not only are you allowed to put this leather over the wooden vessel, that's for sure. Not only that'll just stop the fire from going, but you're even allowed to put earthenware vessels that are new, and the water is going to end up falling on the fire. Since you didn't do it directly, it's going to be permissible. So let's go back to the Braita now. The Braita that said you're allowed to put water on one side of the talet, who's that going to be? The Mishumah Min Anas. Because you're not putting the water directly on the fire itself. The fire is on one side. You're just putting water here, and it's going to stop when it reaches the water. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Anas. At this point, the gram kibui, indirect extinguishing, would be permissible on Shabbat. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Ner she'al gabe tabla. Let's say you have a ner, you have a candle, a flame, that is on top of a tabla. We'll say a tabla is a table, let's say. A small board, okay? Wooden board. Mina'er et tabla. You're allowed to shake the tabla. Vihi nofelet. And now the flame will fall off. Vim kafta kafta. And if it extinguishes, it extinguishes. Meaning you want to take the board, but you can't take the board because it has a flame on it, has a candle on it. So the Gemara is giving you an idea. Hold on to the board from the bottom, tilt it a little, let the candle fall off. If it extinguishes it, it extinguishes it. So comes the Gemara and says, Amre debe Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Yanai taught, Lo shanu ela beshocheya. It's only talking over here where you forgot the candle on this board before Shabbat. Then we'll allow you to tilt it in order to get the board. However, if let's say you placed it there on purpose before Shabbat, now that board becomes a base for Mukseh. Which means, how do you make something a base for Mukseh? By willingly putting it there with intention before Shabbat. So if you would have went and put that candle there on this tabla willingly before Shabbat, you're not going to have the dispensation to tilt it off. Once it becomes a basis, it's asur now the entire Shabbat. We're talking, we're on Shabbat, led before Shabbat. You forgot that candle on that tabla. So the Hiddush of the Gemara, since it's not a basis, because you really didn't want it there, you forgot it there, so the you're not going to be allowed to lift the candle directly, but you'll be able to shake the tabla. The candle will fall off. If it extinguishes it, it extinguishes it. So that is the first opinion. Now, Tosfot does point out that you have to say we're talking in a candle that does not have oil. There's no more oil left. It's just a wick with a flame. Because if there was oil, by tilting it, you're causing the oil now to fall out. Causing the oil to fall out is considered direct extinguishing. Because you have to extinguish something, you take out its oil. So therefore, to take out oil would be extinguishing. So we're talking about just a flame that slipped, there's no more oil left. So the Hiddush is, obviously you have to say also, it's not good. It's obviously indirect over here, right? You're not actually putting out the flame, you're just lifting the tabla. If it goes out, it goes out. Okay, so that's the opinion. The Hiddush is that you can deal with this tabla so long as you didn't place the candle there purposely before Shabbat. So about the case of Shachar. Comes the Gemara and says, Tana, we have another statement.
Ner she'achorei adelet. You have, let's say, a ner, a flame, behind the door. Okay, let's say behind the door of his house, the front door of his house. Poteach v'no'el kedarko. Now you're allowed to open and close the door as you wish. Now, even though by opening the door you're going to bring wind into the house, and that might cause the flame to go out. So the Gemara says, v'im kafta, kafta. And if it goes out, it goes out. We don't care. So the Gemara says, layit ala rav. Rav cursed somebody that would say such a halakha. How could you say such a thing? Are you going to open the door in front of the ner, and the ner is going to extinguish? It can't be. Amar le ravina le ravacha bere de rava. Ve'amri le ravacha bere de rava le rav ashe. May tama layit ala rav. Why did Rav get all upset at such a halakha? Maybe because he owns a Rabbi Yehuda that says davar she'en mitkaven is asur. So what do you mean? I know you don't have intent, let's say, to put out the fire. All you want to do is just open the door. But bottom line, if you go like Rabbi Yehuda holds, we learned this many times in Shabbat, davar she'en mitkaven, even if you don't have kavanah, it's going to be asur. So he says, wait, is that why he got angry? V'tana ketani la k'Rabbi Shimon. And the Tana that said it's permissible obviously held like Rabbi Shimon that would say davar she'en mitkaven mutar. So the Gemara says mishum derav savar like Rabbi Yehuda. Just because Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, kol the Tani Rabbi Shimon melat lahitne. Anybody that holds like Rabbi Shimon is going to curse. Which means, what do you want? The Tana that said it's permissible obviously is following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that says davar she'en mitkaven mutar. So you're right, Rav. You hold like Rav Yehuda. So what? So therefore, anybody that follows the Mishnah's opinion, you're going to curse? I mean, what's the issue? It's not like the Tana was coming from nowhere. He has a legitimate source to for this halakha. So the Gemara says, Amar le. So he said, Beha afilu Rav Shimon mode. In this case, with the candle behind the door, even Rav Shimon would agree that it's asur. Why? Which means Rav's going to tell you this is a suit even according to Rabbi Shimon. Because yes, Rabbi Shimon agrees that davar she'em mitkaven mutar. But if it's inevitable, it's definitely going to happen. It's going to be a suit. So therefore, Rav says this is a suit according to everybody. That's why he cursed out the one that would say such a halakha. The only question is, the Braita did say it. I mean, the Braita did say the halakha. What's the logic of the Braita? So the Ritzba explains the logic very nicely. In this case over here, let's say even if it's inevitable that when you open the door, the flame is going to extinguish. Where normally the Bishmon would say, Asur, because bottom line it is a psik reshe. But let's analyze. What type of melacha is being done over here? Extinguishing. But this type of extinguishing is not going to be asur from the Torah. Because it's a melacha she'en asricha legufa. Which means when is extinguishing hayav? When, let's say, you need the extinguishing. You need, let's say, the coal. You need the wick that was extinguished. Here, you don't need anything. So therefore, at worst, the isur we're discussing over here is a melacha she'en asricha legufa, which would be isur midrabanan. So the Ritva points out that although it's a psik reshe over, it's inevitable. But a psik reshe in the isur de rabbanan, according to the Braita, that would be permissible. So therefore, there is logic to the one that was matir such a case. Rav obviously saying no, I don't care the rabbanan. It's bottom line, it's a psik reshe, it's asur. But we just have to understand the Braita. The Braita's logic would be here. I agree to psik reshe on a deoraita. However, on a drabbanan like this, which is a malakas in a gufa, where you don't really need the extinguishing, therefore, if it's even if it's a psikir it would be permissible.
Rabbi Yehuda would say
it's a dorah. Right, Rabbi Yehuda is davash mitkaven asur. Yeah, he says davash mitkaven asur anyway. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Next case. Poteach adam delet keneged, I'll just catch that word, hamedura b'shabbat. Okay, you have a fireplace. Medorah, fireplace. So the Gemara says, you're allowed to open the door, let's say the front door of the house. Now what's going to happen by opening the door? The wind is going to come in. Now, in this case, it's not going to put out the fire, but it's going to bellow it. It's going to cause it to to burn more, right? Mutar. Again, layit ala abaye. Abaye heard this halakha, and he cursed somebody that could say such a halakha. So the Gemara says, "Bimay askina." He goes older. Let's analyze some more conditions in this case. If we're talking about a normal wind that's going to blow through the door, why should it be asur? Which means a normal wind does not have the ability to bellow the fireplace. So therefore, everybody should say, what is Abaye cursing for? If we're talking about where there's a not normal wind, meaning a strong wind, so what's the reason of the rabbi that can say it's permissible? Which means this should be cut or dry, cut and dry. Meaning, if it's a normal wind, everybody should say mutar. If it's a an out of the ordinary strong wind, everybody should say it bellows it. Therefore, it should be asur. We're talking about where it's a normal wind that does not have the ability to bellow it. However, mor sabar gazrinan or mor sabar lo gazrinan. The question is, do you make a gezerah or not? The Braita says, we don't make a gezerah. Meaning, if you have not the Braita, Rav Yehuda said, you don't make a gezerah. Meaning, you can open the door as long as it's a normal wind, and we don't suspect that if we allow you to open the normal wind, you'll get a bigger wind. Right? However, Abaye says, no. You're not allowed to open the door in front of the Medorah, even on a normal wind, gezerah, that you might come to do it on a strong wind. So that's the whole gezerah of it. That's the whole subject of it. Do you make a gezerah to a strong wind or not? Hosin mechitza. Okay, now we discuss the machloket that we had in our Mishnah. Let's review the machloket quickly. Tanakama said, you're allowed to make a wall of vessels in front of a fire, even cheres, even if it's new, even if it's going to explode, mutar. Whereas the Nabi Yosef was the mahmir. The Nabi Yosef said, no. New vessels of cheres, you can't. Because that's going to cause them to explode, the water's going to go directly on the on the fire. Now, the Gemara says, lememra. You mean to say, that Rabbanan sabri gram kivuim mutar, must be that the rabbis hold, indirect extinguishing would be permissible, the Rabbi Yosef savar gram kivui asur. And Rabbi Yosef must be of the opinion that says indirect is asur. That's why he didn't allow you to do the new earthenware vessels. But we have a statement now in a braita that teaches us the opposite. Let's see the braita. The Tanya. We have a braita. You're allowed to make a wall in front of a fire of vessels, whether they're empty or full. So long as they don't normally break. And now the Braita lists to us the different type of vessels that when full will not break. Matechot. Kli matechot. Which means metal. So you're allowed to put a metal vessel filled with water in front of the fire. That's Tanakama. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Af kli kfar shihin ve kli kfar hananya. You can even get vessels from a village called Shihin, and a village called Hananya. There are vessels that were made over there. It seems they're very, solid vessels. And darkan nishtaber. He says these items also do not break. Now, what do you see over here? That she says, Afkli kefar shihin cheres. These vessels that Abiyo says being lenient are made out of earthenware. He asui me oto afar hazaku. But they were made from those villages. They're very strong. The end mishtaber, and they don't break. Now, what's the question? Alma, Rabbi Yosef begram kibui tfem mekel midrabanan, which means here both rabbis are being stringent in the sense that what they're not allowing indirect extinguishing. Both rabbis are saying you have to put vessels that are strong. But who's the more lenient one over here? Rabbi Yosef. Whereas in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef was the stringent one. Rabbi Yosef was the one that said, you can't put new earthenware vessels that are going to break. And here, however, when it comes to the case of the earthenware vessels, Rabbi Yosef was the one that said, you could take vessels from the village of Shihin or the village of Hananya,
and you're allowed to put them in front of the fire. So here it just seems that Rabbi Yosei is just a little more lenient, where now Mishnah Rabbi Yosei is the stricter one. So comes the Gemara and says, V'chi tema ipuch matnitim. Maybe you'll say, switch the Mishnah around. What do you mean switch the Mishnah around? Which means, make Rabbi Yosei the first opinion of our Mishnah, right? And Hakamim the second opinion. Meaning, make our Mishnah, Rabbi Yosei is the one that says you can even put new earthenware vessels in order for them to extinguish the fire. And it's the Hakamim that are going to say in the Mishnah, Asur. Now wait. The Rabbi Yosei, the Beraita, and now this Beraita that we just quoted Rabbi Yosei, Lidivrehem Ka'amar. You have to say, once you say that Rabbi Yosef the Mishnah now, is telling you Gram Kibui is Mutar, so you still have one more adjustment. The Braita that said that Rabbi Yosef allows you to even use the vessels of Kvar Shirin and Kvar Hananya, you have to say that that statement was being made in Tanakama's opinion. Meaning Rabbi Yosef is saying like this, for me, I allow to use even regular earthenware vessels, like I said in the Mishnah. Which means I don't care if they break mutakos. I hold gram kivui mutar. But they were talking in the Rabbanan's opinion, meaning rabbis. You that say gram kibuz asur, and you're allowing to use strong metal vessels, let's say, that are filled with locusts that are not going to break, you should be lenient at least to use the vessels that come from Kfar Hananya and Kfar Shirin, because they are strong as well. So again, let's see how we adjusted over here. We did two adjustments. Number one, change the Mishnah, meaning make it a Rabbi Yosei the lenient one that says Gram Kibui is Mutar. And in the Braita, you have to say when Rabbi Yosei allowed you to use the vessels of Shihin and Hananya, not in his opinion, because in his opinion you can even use weak vessels. But he was saying it in the rabbi's opinion, meaning you rabbis, you just said in the Braita, you can only use metal. Why only metal? For you, at least, you should be able to use the strong earthenware that comes from these villages. And therefore, Rabbi Yosei would be the lenient one. So the Gemara says, Umi matzit apachtle? Can you really switch the Mishnah to make Rabbi Yosei the lenient one to say, Gram Kibui is mutar? You can't. Why? V'amar Abba bar tahlifa mishemei d'rab. Man tana Gram Kibui asur? Rabbi Yosei. Clear statement. Who is the opinion that says, indirect extinguishing is forbidden? Rabbi Yosei. So now we're back to the question. So clearly Rabbi Yosei holds Gram Kibui is Asur. But when we came to this Braita, he was more lenient than the rabbi's opinion. He allowed you even to use other types of earthenware vessels that Tanakhama did not. Says, Ela le'olam lo tipuch. So you know what? Don't switch anything. Ubraita kula Rabbi Yosei. And that Braita, it's all going in the strict opinion of Rabbi Yosei. And read the Braita like this. And the Braita was missing some words, and read it like this. You can make a wall of vessels, whether they're empty or full, so long as it's not the normal way of these vessels to break. And these are the vessels that don't normally break. Metal. V'chli kefar shi'in u'chli kefar halanya. And also vessels from those two villages. Nameh endar kan neshtaber. Also, they do not break. Why? Shirabi Yosei omer. Because Rabbi Yosei holds, av'chli kefar shi'in v'chli kefar halanya, endar kan neshtaber. So therefore, it's all Rabbi Yosei. Meaning, really, Tanakama is really lenient. You could use any type of vessel. Even vessels that are going to break. That Braita that was saying that you can even use, you can only use the strong vessels, that was actually Rabbi Yosei alone. Comes again what Rabbanan says, Verami Rabbanan ad Rabbanan, Verame Rabbi Yosei ad Rabbi Yosei. Now we're going to bring a contradiction from the rabbi's lenient opinion that says Gram Kibui is Mutar. We're going to bring a contradiction to that. And to the Rabbi Yosei that says Gram Kibui is Asur, we're going to bring a contradiction to him. The Tanya. We have a Braita. Nothing to do with fires, but to do with another deen. Hare Sheya Shem Katuv Lo Al Besaro. Let's say a fellow had God's name or one of God's names written on his flesh. Okay, it was written in ink, let's say, on his flesh.
Tattoo.
But not a tattoo, it wasn't permanent, it's able to come off. Well, they're not going to let this guy bathe. Because by bathing, what's going to happen? It's going to erase. Velo yasuch. No, we're going to allow the guy to anoint himself with, let's say, you know, creams and things like that. Velo yaramod mkom atinofet. Nor is he going to be allowed to stand in a dirty place, like by a bathroom or a place that has a smell, because bottom line, the name of God is on him. Nizdamna lo tevida shel mitzvah. But let's say he became a Baal Keri. Right? He had a seminal emission. Now he needs to go to the mikveh. He needs that tevida shel mitzvah. So what does he do? Korech ale agemi. According to Tanna Kama, let him take a gemi, that's like a little piece of grass. Let him cover the name of God with it. Ve'yored v'tomel. And let him go dip in the mikveh with it. Okay? At this point, the assumption is, because they don't want the name to erase. Okay? Now, even though you're not directly erasing it, even though it's only considered gram, it's only indirect, but direct, because really, I'm not erasing, I'm just dipping in the mikveh. But still, even indirect at this point, it sounds like according to Hakamim is going to be asur. Therefore, they make you put the piece of grass over at the covering. Rabbi Yosef Omer, le'olam yored ve'tovel kedarko. He says you can go to the mikveh regular. Ubelvad shelo yishefshef. So long as you don't rub it. Because by rubbing it, you're directly taking off the name of God. So what do you see over here? You see the opposite. You see the rabbis over here are the ones that say indirect is asur. And the Biyoseh is the one that's saying indirect is mutar. So now already we have a contradiction, which is it seems the rabbis, the logic of the Gemara is, if you hold indirect is mutar in one place, it should be mutar everywhere. So rabbis, if you told me the indirect extinguishing is permissible, so therefore why not indirect erasing? And if Yosef, you said indirect extinguishing is forbidden, so therefore it should be forbidden also by the case of erasing God's name. Shani hata. It's different over there by erasing God's name. The Amar Krakos, the Pasuk says, Ve'ibbatem et shemam menam makomahu. By Avodah Zarah it says, you must eradicate the name of Avodah Zarah from that place. Lo ta'asum ken la'ashem Elohechem. But do not do that to God. Don't eradicate God's name. But what does it say? Lo ta'asum. What does the word la'asot mean? To do. So the Gemara says, Asiyahu de'asur. It's only asur when you do it directly, in action. Gerama chare. But indirect is permissible. So therefore, we go back. Really, we have a special pasuk when it comes to erasing God's name that tells us indirect erasing is permissible. Now the only question is, if indirect is permissible, why do the rabbis then tell you have to put a piece of grass over the name when you're going to mikveh? Oh, but before that even, the Gemara has a question before that. If that's so, hachanami ketiv. By Shabbat, what does it say? Lo ta'ase kol melacha. Right? By Shabbat, what does it say? Don't do a melacha. Asiyahu de'asur, gerama shari. You could say the same to Rasha. Only direct actions should be forbidden, but indirect permissible. So therefore, why does the Biyoseh then say that you cannot put the jugs in front of the water, even if they're going to explode? So what? Gerama mutar. So the Gemara says, mitok she'adam bahul al mamono. You're right. Really, I'll tell you, gerama on Shabbat should also be okay. Also mutar. But what? The problem will be is, if you're going to start letting the guy put these jugs of water that are going to explode, and the water's going to go on the fire, he's going to, in his preoccupation, what's going to happen? Since he's preoccupied and everybody just wants to save their money, Isharitle atelechebuye. The guy's going to come and take out and put out the fire. Which is interesting. It comes out according to the conclusion of this Gemara, that really it's not an issue of gram over here. Really, gram kibuy would be mutar. Why is the biyosim mahmir? If we let you do this water and it's going to fall on the fire, you might come and actually do it yourself. So the Gemara says, wait. Kasha de Rabbanan de Rabbanan. Now we have a contradiction on the rabbis. Meaning, Uma hata. What in the case, let's say, by the fire? Da'adam bahud al mamono. where we said the guy is Bahul, right? People want to save their money. And still you said what? Share. It's still permissible to put out the fire in that way. We don't care. Let put the jugs there, let the water fall on it. Haka, local chicken. Over here, all the more so, which means why are you making him put this gemilah, why are you making him put this piece of grass, let's say, on the erasure of the... What should be the problem? Which means, if we allowed it by the case of Shabbat, where there's a concern that he might put out the fire, and still you said, it's okay, so we should allow the guy to go to the mikveh with the name of God on him, directly. What are you making him cover it for? So the Gemara says... Vitispira. Does it make sense? Which means, do you think the reason why the rabbis told you to put this grass on top of the name of God is so it doesn't erase? That's not the reason. Still now we're thinking that the whole reason why you're putting this so it doesn't erase. So we're asking, so what? It's indirect. Just like we let indirect by the case of the fire, and we didn't make a gezerah that what, you might come to about the fire, even though there's a legitimate gezerah there. Here, certainly. So why are they making him put a gemi? So he said, what, you thought the reason why they gave me is so the name doesn't erase? That's not the reason. Gemara says, hai gemi hechi dameh. The Gemara is going to analyze that. How tight are you placing this gemi? If you placed it tight, kahave hatzitza. It's going to be a hatzitza, it's going to be an interposition. I mean, it's going to be an interference. The water can't get in. And therefore, tefillah is not going to be legitimate. And if it's not going to be tight, ayil b'maya, the water is going to get in there, and therefore, if the water is going to get in there, it's going to erase it. So therefore, technically,
what are you doing?
What are you doing? What is this going to do over here? Ayil b'maya. So the Gemara says, hatzitza. Well, you're worried about hatzitza. Tipu kle mishum dio. Says, hold on. Forget about it. If you're talking about where you put it tight, you don't even have to get to the case of chatzitza because of the gemi. I can tell you the reason why it's a chatzitza is because of the ink itself. It doesn't have God's name written on his... if you're hitting me, you put it tight. He says, oh, chatzitza. Let's analyze chatzitza for a second. Is it a chatzitza regardless? Doesn't the ink serve as a chatzitza? So the Gemara says, no. Belaha. No, we're talking about where the ink is still wet. It's moist. Vetanya, because we have a braita. Hadam, blood, dio, ink. Hadvash, honey. Vaharab, milk. Yevishin, hotzitzin. They only consider hatitza when they are
dry.
However, lahin, and hotzitzin. Okay, so therefore, we're not worried about the ink. We go back to the gemi now. Okay? So the gemi, make up your mind. If it's tight, it's a hatitza. If it's not tight, the water's going to get in anyway and erase it. So what are you accomplishing? We have a question. What do you need the game before for the rabbis? This is the reason the kasavi asur la'amod b'fnei Hashem arum. Different issue. You can't stand in front of the name of God naked. And therefore, I'm not worried about hatzitza here, because I'm not putting it tight. Okay? I'm not worried about the chatzitza of the ink either because it's still moist. I'm not worried about gerama of erasing because gerama is mutar. So what's the issue over here? Bottom line, the guy's in the mikveh without clothes. Not kavod to stand in front of God's name. So therefore he has to cover it for the issue of kavod. So the Gemara says, Mikhlal, Rabbi Yosef, Savar, mutar la'amod lefnei Hashem arum. Wait, Rabbi Yosef said, just go in regular. You don't even have to cover it. What do I mean? He says you're allowed to stand in front of God's name naked? He's going to say it's permissible? No. No, Rabbi Yosef will just say, just cover your hand, with your hand, cover God's name. You don't have to go take a piece of grass to cover it. He'll say, I agree. You got to cover it, but just do it with your hand. So the Gemara says, why don't the rabbis do that? Why don't the rabbis suffice and just say, cover your hand with it? Zimnin de mishtale veshakile. Because what's going to happen? Sometimes he's going to forget and move his hand away. Now, he might not stand there the whole time like that. Therefore, the rabbi says, you know what? Tie a piece of grass to it so it'll be permanent.
So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, that means you need the Mishtaneh v'shakile. Oh, why don't you say the same thing in Rabbi Yosef, that sometimes he'll forget and he'll lift his hand, nobody will have a problem. So the Gemara says like this, Ela, I de'ika gemi, if a gemi is available, hachanameh. Everybody would agree, even Rabbi Yosef, use it. Hachamema askina, but what are we talking over here? Le'adure agemi, where a gemi is not readily accessible. Now you got to go find one. So, Rabbanan Savri, the rabbis will tell you, Tevila bizmana lav mitzvah. They hold that when one has to go to the mikveh, let's say tonight is the night for him to go to the mikveh, he does not necessarily have to go the first night possible. He can go any time from that night on. That, the way they say that in halakha is, Tevila bizmana lav mitzvah. Dipping at the right time is not a mitzvah, per se. You don't have to go the first time possible. So the rabbis will say, since you don't have to go the first time possible, go find the gemi. You didn't find the gemi? Go find. But I'm not going to be able to go to the mikveh tonight. So what? It's not a mitzvah specifically to go tonight. Go tomorrow night. And therefore, umadrinan, meaning go get a gemi. Go search a gemi. The Rabbi Yosef savar tevila bizmana mitzvah. Velo madrinan. Rabbi Yosef says no. Once the night, the first night that you're supposed to go to the mikveh comes, it's a mitzvah to go that night. They learn it from a pasuk that says, "Vaya lifnot erev yirhatz b'mayim." By a baal keli, it says, once the night comes, yirhatz. He learns it's a commandment. You must go to the mikveh. Whereas the rabbis will say, no, it means you can go to the mikveh. But Rabbi Yosef says no. Since it's a mitzvah to go that night, so what is he going to tell you to do? But you have the name of God on you. So you know what? Cover with your head.
Be careful.
We're not going to tell you to go now, wait till you find a gemi. So let's review the machloket. If you have a gemi, everybody's going to say, use it. The question is if you don't have one. You have to search for one. Hakamim will tell you, since tibila bizmana lav mitzvah, therefore, go tomorrow night, find a gemi. And Rabbi Yosef will come and tell you, nah, you're going to miss the mitzvah of going to the mikveh on the right time. Therefore, just use your hand. But everybody would agree that gram kibuy, according to this, is permissible. And it comes out, gram mehikav, Hashem's name, also is permissible. So what was the reason then of Rabbi Yosef in the Mishnah? Because since Adam bahul al mamono, therefore we're concerned that he might come and extinguish the fire himself. Baruch.